is now time for the Bible Answers program, in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths in an endeavor to answer your Bible questions. Our subject for this program is, What is Death? If you would like a copy of the Bible Answers magazine without charge, send your request to the Bible Answers, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. What happens to a person the moment after his heart stops beating? Is he still alive in some mysterious way? Does he actually hover around the undertaking parlor while his friends are gathered to mourn his passing? Or has he passed to some unknown and beautiful isle of somewhere? But first, this program is by the Dawn Bible Students Association, in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. Now, Ed, please answer the question that has come to us in several letters. What is death?
Well, Russell, surely the question, what is death, is a vital one. If the dead are more alive than the living, then the question is whether or not those who die in unbelief go to a place of torment, doomed to be tortured forever. So the question really is complex. But even so, the Bible should provide the answer.
By the way, Ed, does science help us out on a question of this kind?
Very limitedly, Russell. Not from the standpoint of giving any hope of life after death, at least. Science tells us that there is no evidence at all of the continuance of life after the heart stops beating.
And many are inclined to think that is all there is to it. At least that is the impression I get as I talk to some of my friends. I'm not interested in anything but what does the Bible say?
Well, Russell, this may surprise some, but up to a point the Bible is in agreement with science. What I mean is that according to the Bible, death is a reality. It is not just a transition into some other form or sphere of life. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5, we read, "The living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything."
Now, that's what science claims. But does man die like the beasts? Is that what the Bible teaches?
Well, at first, this thought can sound discouraging, but it's not actually so when we consider the full testimony of the Bible. However, the Bible does say that man perishes like the brute beasts. We find a statement to that effect in the 49th Psalm, verse 12. But, Russell, let me ask a question. What is the soul?
Well, I'll give you the viewpoint of many of my friends, which is that the soul is a separate entity, a part of God, really, that dwells within each one of us until the body dies, and at death it then escapes, gaining thus its freedom to enjoy life under possibly more favorable conditions. Is that what the Bible teaches?
Well, this may be new to some, but Russell, really, there's nothing like that in the Bible at all. The Bible says that when God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, he became a living soul. Now remember, it doesn't say that the soul was something which was put into him, but man became a living soul, that is, a living being.
Then just what does happen when one draws his last breath? That question still isn't answered.
And it's very clearly answered in the 146th Psalm, verse 4, which, when speaking of the death of man, states, "His breath goeth forth, he returneth to the earth, in that very day his thoughts perish."
Thank you, Ed. That scripture is definite. And to me it indicates that when a man dies, he returns to the same condition he was in before he was born. Now, is that so?
I would say in a sense it is so, Russell.
However, there must be other texts to be taken into consideration. I remember one, for instance, which says something about the Spirit returning to God who gave it. Have you ever heard of that text?
Yes, I have. Students of this subject are all acquainted with Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7. The entire text reads, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the Spirit shall return unto God who gave it."
Now, again, that certainly is very definite. To many, it proves that man does possess a spirit of some sort which continues to exist after the body dies. The spirit returns to God who gave it, the text says.
I want you to notice something in this text as we consider it again. The key to a proper understanding of it is in the word return. The body is said to return to the dust, which it does, and the spirit is said to return to God who gave it.
How does that serve as a key to an understanding of the text, Ed?
Well, the reason it is proper to say that the body returns to dust is because it originally came from the elements of the earth. Now think of this. So if the spirit also returns, this must also mean that it reverts to its original condition. This would mean, you see, that that death leaves the individual, both body and spirit, in exactly the same condition as he existed before birth.
But Ed, what is the spirit which returns to God?
Now, this calls for a bit of research. In the Hebrew text, the word ruach is used. Hebrew scholars agree, all of them, that this word simply means wind or breath.
But how could one's breath return to God?
Well, really, that shouldn't be difficult to understand. Life itself is a gift of God. Paul declared that in God we live and move and have our being. The Bible says God breathed into his nostrils, speaking of Adam, the breath of life, and man became a living soul or a living being. The life principle, which is dependent upon the breath, therefore is God-given, and at death is quite properly said to return to God. But this does not at all imply that any conscious entity returns to God when the body dies. If it did, it would mean that we were in the presence of God as conscious beings before we were born. The Hebrew word ruach, which is translated spirit, as we said before in the text, which we said that the spirit returns to God who gave it, is translated breath in Ecclesiastes 3:19-21, where we read concerning both man and beast that as the one dieth, so dieth the other, yea, they have all one breath, or ruach. All go into one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. This is most explicit.
But that is not the end of this subject of living, I trust.
Oh, no, Russell. Oh, no, not at all. In the Word of God, we have these rich promises where God says he will restore to life again. Perhaps it's somewhat of a lack of faith which makes it seem easier to believe that there is something about us which continues to live than it is to have confidence in God's promises to restore life. However, the great hope of future life held out to us in the Bible is that there will be a resurrection of the dead. The Apostle Paul declares that without a resurrection, those who have fallen asleep in Christ would have perished.
And some, you have said, will in the resurrection receive a heavenly home, while others in the resurrection will receive life right here upon the earth.
That's entirely right, Russell. We don't have time to go into that now, but it'll be even better if our listeners will send for a copy of the Dawn magazine. Russell, will you tell our listeners about this very timely publication?
Yes, Ed, I'll be glad to. First, let me emphasize that Frank has told us that the hope of life after death is based upon the promises of God to restore to life those who have died. How do we know that there will be a resurrection of the dead? Where will we be in the resurrection? There is hope for those who have died in unbelief. One of the questions answered in the Dawn gives us this assurance. In addition, if you are a Sunday school teacher, you will enjoy the articles which present a new and interesting approach to the International Sunday School lessons for each week. And then there is a department to discuss Bible prophecies which refer to our day. So send now for your copy of the Dawn magazine. Send your request to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. The address again, Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Ask for the Dawn. It will be sent to you free by mail and without obligation.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, P.O. Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Or call this toll-free number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That's 1-800-234-DAWN. The booklet will be sent to you free and without obligation. This program is brought to you each week by the Dawn Bible Students Association in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, call toll-free the following number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That is 1-800-234-DAWN to receive without obligation the free booklet offered. Please include the call letters of this station with your request. Ask your friends to listen to our program, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.